on Pop Off. Harry J. Pop.
And welcome to the Pop Off Radio Show. Hello, hello, hello. We made it through the first week. You know, there are always a few glitches that go on when you're working out new technology, but I got to thank all the guys at BBS Radio, Don Newsom, Doug Newsom. They've been absolutely stellar in trying to get everything going here, and we are always going to have a good broadcast for you. That I can absolutely promise you. In addition to that, I want to thank a couple of other people because they have been absolutely terrific, and that is Roger Santos, who's been with me every day holding my hand saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it on the air, and everything's going to be fine. But as anything, when you set up a new studio, you set up new equipment, and you know, I don't care what the most perfect of anything is, it always has a few glitches that you have to work out. But Roger Santos and Kendall, thank you so very much. We're on our way with Pop Off on BBS Radio, and I'm so honored to have the show on BBS Radio. They are growing by leaps and bounds, and hopefully we'll all grow together. Don't forget, tell your friends about Pop Off Monday through Friday, from noon till 1 p.m. Eventually, keeping our fingers crossed and all as well, we will be going from 11 till 1. But do tell your friends, because we want to make sure that we present to you the best and the brightest. But in addition to the best and the brightest, it is things that will help you with your life. It'll make your life hopefully better, live longer, live happier, be better, more successful. We'll do a little bit of everything. You will hear topics from every walk of life. And today is no exception. A little later on in the show, we are so honored that we had the opportunity to talk with Tommy Toon. Now, this man was like a 9-time Tony Award winner. He's done movies, stage all his life. Fabulous, fabulous performer and actor. And he's going to be with us. He happens to be touring Sacramento with a show called Dr. Doolittle, which he actually wrote. And he's actually made it for kids, and we saw it on Wednesday night. Rick and I both, my husband's Rick, by the way, I'm kind of introducing you, my whole family, but Rick and I went to see it on Wednesday night, and he was absolutely fabulous. And it might be a kid's show, but trust me, it wasn't only for kids. It is so, if it comes to your town, please go see Dr. Doolittle. Take your kids. For the first time in my life, there was a huge audience there, because they seat about 3,500 in the convention center here in Sacramento, and I would say maybe a third of it was kids. Now, get this. The kids were quiet. Now, you know they've got to be interested in the show if kids are quiet. So we'll be talking with Tommy Toon a little bit later. All kinds of topics coming your way, so hang in there with us, because this first one is going to have you, if not in tears, your heart. Your heartstrings are going to be pulled major. Here it goes. Well, living twice may be the way to do it, but I'm telling you, when some 400,000 Army National Guard reservists have trekked overseas for the war on terror, it is something else that we have to think about. About a fifth have already completed their commitment, but President Bush's stop loss order, and that means they're not coming home. That's the stop loss order that he has actually put out. Most reservists never thought they'd get caught in this maze. And Stacey Bannerman is one of those who was left behind. I know how she feels. I felt the same way when Rick went to Vietnam in the Vietnam War back in the 70s. Now, in her book called When the War Came Home, Stacey chronicles her journey when Sergeant First Class Lauren Bannerman was called up. And that, I know, is frightening. Stacey, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Oh, Mary, thank you so much for inviting me.
You know, I feel for you so very much, because I felt the same way. My husband and I, Rick and I, were married about 3 months when he went to Vietnam. So I know it tears your heart out is what it does.
Yes, it does. And I, frankly, was just absolutely not prepared for it because my husband is in the National Guard. And so that's a little different, I think, from active duty. But sure, for all of us who are left behind, I think the experience, certainly the emotional impact, is absolutely the same.
You know, when you're talking about that, and that means he's going away. He's going to be away for a long time. You don't even know where he's going. You've never, probably never even heard of the doggone country for the most part, or at least what goes on there. And it's, again, he was a reservist, a National Guard. You don't expect this to happen.
No, I didn't. He didn't. I mean, the National Guard does have a dual mission, meaning that in instances of national emergency, yes, they can be federalized and call up to serve the nation. But the critical component there is that it must be in a case of a national emergency, and that was certainly not the situation when my husband and everyone else was called up to go fight in Iraq.
Okay. Now, I do want to talk to you, too, about the idea of, you know, when he was called up, how did you handle it? I mean, it's some, and I know it's not as hard for us back here, but it is, because you have to do all kinds of things. Number one, the paycheck is not going to be the same. Let's
mm-hmm.
face it.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, now, do you have children?
No.
Okay. Well, people who do have children, those kids are being, you know, the moms or dads who are sent over. All of a sudden, that is a major change in their life. There's a lot of changes that is hard for us to even comprehend.
Significant changes, yes. What had happened for a number of the Guard and Reserve families is their paychecks dropped so much. The annual household income was reduced by $10,000 and $20,000. And some folks, I mean, like all of the rest of us, of course, they set their monthly payments and budgets up according to their civilian jobs. And so suddenly when that money isn't there and isn't coming in, you know, there are families that were evicted, that lost their homes, that were forced to move out of apartments and move in with families. Also, the whole child care issue is a major one. And it also, for a number of the women that I spoke with, you know, in the first months, you know, during the mobilization when they had first gotten the call, because of concerns about not knowing, honestly, if your husband's coming home,
that's
and what
it.
Condition he'll be in, worried about the impact of depleted uranium and white phosphorus. There were some women who did have their husbands go to a sperm bank.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Just in case. Oh,
just in case.
Yeah, but isn't that a tragic thing to have to think about?
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, suddenly, but you have to. That is the reality. That's the reality of war. You've got to think about those kinds of things, and you find yourself suddenly filling out forms and paperwork that you had never imagined you would at that point in your life. 20-year-olds putting together their last will and testament, those types of things.
You know, I have to be honest with you, and I understand what you're saying, because active duty, you know, when you sign up, you know that that chance that you're going to have to go overseas or have to be in a conflict of this nature may happen. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is part of it. They let you know that at the onset. But the National Guard, you think, wait a minute, that's what we use here at home when we have disasters, when, you know, the border, this type of thing. We never think of National Guard because everyone said, to be honest with you, during the Vietnam War, people joined the National Guard so they wouldn't go to Vietnam.
Precisely.
You know, and now you join the National Guard, you're pretty well assured you're going.
That, frankly, is one of the reasons that National Guard recruitment and retention has dropped so precipitously
sure.
over the last 3 years.
Now, why did you, just out of curiosity, why did your husband join the National Guard?
My husband first joined the National Guard right when he got out of high school. I mean, within a year or two of graduating from high school, he initially joined the Guard, like so many other young men or women in this country,
yeah.
because he'd wanted the money for school, for a college degree, and because he did want the opportunity to serve his nation. And for men, particularly young men, that the military and the National Guard and Reserve is one of the best and only ways really traditionally available to them to be of service to their community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was for the chance to serve. It was for the educational benefits. And he was in the Guard for approximately 16 years.
Wow.
And he completed his contract. He got out. When he and I met, he was not in the Guard. He was not involved in the Guard at all. It wasn't until around the time, actually, that we had gotten engaged that the National Guard called him up and asked him if he'd consider re-upping.
And he agreed?
At that point, yes. That was back in 1999.
Oh, 99.
It was a very different world then.
Oh, gotcha.
He had maybe 5 or 6 years tops left to be able to qualify for a 20-year retirement, and he had missed being in the Guard.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, my husband was a reservist for, I don't know how many years, till he retired, so I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he went back in, and of course, he didn't go over until what, 2003?
Well, he was mobilized in 2003 in
okay.
October. He began full-time duty, federalized, in November of 2003. He was, they went to California for a month or so of training on February 15th of 2004 and landed in Iraq in early March of 2004 and returned home March 11, 2005.
Now, be honest with me. When he came home, was there a difference?
Yes, certainly.
In what ways?
In that he was much more kind of rigid and alert and on guard. He was very abrupt in both his speech and thought patterns and mannerisms. He had a lot of trouble sleeping. For the first month or so, he actually would stay up until like 2 and 3 in the morning looking at video and pictures that he and the other guys in the unit had accumulated while they were over in Iraq. I think it was really difficult for him to go from combat to cul-de-sac in approximately 48 hours. And so he was also very, very on edge and found himself, he drove real aggressively, and he would also, for the first several months, he'd remarked every time he got in his car, he kept checking for his weapon.
Oh, my God. You know, it's hard for people who don't have that situation happen to them to understand what you're going through. And I know statistics show that, and this is frightening to me, 1 in 10 who returned from Vietnam had problems like post-traumatic stress disorder or syndrome, whatever they happen to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that from Iraq, it's 1 in 5 or 6. And people are saying, why?
Actually, no. The figures are much higher.
Really?
Yes, in Iraq, as you might imagine. And I mentioned this in the book, When the War Came Home. I did quite a bit of research on this and am in the process of trying to help work with a program, kind of a community-based program, to help veterans and their families who are returning from Iraq to reintegrate. The most recent figures regarding rate of PTSD in returning Iraq War veterans is 1 in 3.
Oh my God.
33%.
Why do you think it's so high?
Well, it is so high. Yes, it's 33% of, on average, soldiers are requesting mental health care and assistance after coming back from Iraq. And we're still in the early years of this. Keep in mind, post-traumatic stress disorder is just that, post. It often doesn't even begin to set in for a year or two or so after returning from combat. For National Guard and Reservists, the number is moving closer to 1 in 2, nearly 50% having some level of mental health disorder, and it is so high because they were told that when they went into that country that they would be greeted with flowers. That did not happen. The soldiers are doing so many tours of duty. We have got troops that are literally on their sixth tour of duty.
See, that's right.
That's untenable because there is nowhere safe in Iraq. It is a whole different kind of warfare, and these guys are on edge 24/7. There is no front line, so you're always on alert. It is because the high rates of PTSD, particularly in National Guard and Reservists, is because when they get back from Iraq, there is virtually no follow-up care in terms of mental health assistance and counseling.
And you know what, Stacey, I would think, too, to be honest with you, a lot of the men coming back, even though they might have a problem or feel that they might have a problem, first of all, you know, it's a guy thing. They don't want to admit it. I think probably more women would admit it than the men.
That's absolutely correct.
Number two, they also feel that it may follow their reputation and for whatever career they're going to go into if they have that on their record.
That is absolutely correct as well.
See, that, and I can see that. They'll say, well, you know, I'll just have to deal with it myself because I want to be able to move on. I should move on. I'm a soldier. And maybe even the women feel the same way. I'm a soldier. I should be able to handle this. And we've got to somehow circumvent that attitude and say, look, everybody needs to go through some kind of rehabilitation, therapy, or whatever for a certain period of time, and not in 48 hours.
I think so, too. I mean, look at the amount of time and training that goes into preparing these guys for combat. And yet, particularly if you're in the National Guard or Reserve, and there's no time and training given preparing them to return to civilian life.
You bet. And the other thing, too, is whether we agree whether, you know, we should be in Iraq or not. You know, I felt like it was a stupid thing because I almost felt like it was Vietnam all over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you're there, you're not going to get out that easily.
Right.
Everybody was like, oh, we're going to be, you know, such major successes. Yeah, did you think there was anything else that you're going to walk in there with the kind of military and armament that we have and not win? But then it's not the win, it's the aftermath that you have to deal with.
And right, precisely. And frankly, let's face it, I do not understand why there was no anticipation of an insurgency. Good Lord, I anticipated an insurgency.
Yeah. I mean, remember, 3,000 people died in the Twin Towers. This is the kind of mentality of that insurgency. And it's not only in Iraq. See, this is the other thing I don't understand. You said it yourself, and it was very, very plainly, that there are no lines. And there are insurgents all over the world. The people who are so-called, quote, terrorists are all over the world. This is going to be an ongoing battle. So if we're concentrating only on Iraq, what's happening in the rest of the world?
What we're trying to do is to fight a new strategy using old tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not working.
No, absolutely not. What do you think needs to be done other than the therapy? I mean, it'd be nice just to bring the guys home and gals home and just forget about the whole thing, but it's not going to happen. You know that? I know that.
Well, that's correct, but I would disagree. I do think it's critical that we don't forget about the whole thing, because I think one thing that really needs to happen is communities need to take much more responsibility and ownership, you know, of the soldiers and their families. You know, people say that they support the troops, and for the vast majority of Americans, less than 1% of people in this country are directly impacted by the war in Iraq, meaning that they've got a loved one who is in the military. Less than 1%. Imagine that. And people say that they support the troops, and their idea of doing that is buying
troops,
a bumper sticker.
Yeah, put a bumper sticker on your car and I support the troops. What?
The community needs to be much more engaged in the whole process. Why is no one in this nation, aside from the military folks, why are we looking at tax cuts?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there no shared sacrifice? The only sacrifice that's being made in this country is by the military families. Sharing the burden of war.
Stacey, yeah, I agree with you. But I'm not sure you would agree with what my solution to that is. My solution to that is you need to have either a draft, which eventually we're going to have because we don't have
mm-hmm.
enough people to fight.
Well, clearly we are.
Or number two, some sort of universal military. In other words, once they come out of high school, you put a year. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go overseas. Doesn't mean you don't have to carry a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But some sort of universal military, year, 2 years. I think most kids, when they come out of high school, it wouldn't be a bad thing anyway because they don't know what they're going to do.
Well, yeah, I think on a very practical level, I got to be honest with you, I'm not so sure I do disagree.
Okay.
With you there, quite frankly,
that's shared, and everybody goes, even the politicians' kids.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what bothers me, and that happened in all the other wars too. You could find a way out if you had the right contacts.
Yes.
And that still is valid.
But of course it is.
At this point, it is a volunteer. Now,
yes, there are only, of all of the members of Congress who did the mock debate yesterday, mm-hmm. of all of the members of Congress, there are actually, I think, only 8 of them who have got immediate family members currently in the service, of which only three have actually done a tour of duty in Iraq.
Ain't that amazing?
So, again, it's about this nation having the moral courage and fortitude to, when they're making a decision to send people into war, that that burden is shared. And when our soldiers are coming home, that burden also needs to be shared as well. There need to be much more public services and supports and ceremonies for these guys. And I'm not talking about a one-time kind of thing where they give them a flag and a medal.
Yeah, or a parade. You know, we don't need the parade. They need to be settled back in.
Right. Absolutely. We need to have some of our older veterans who are kind of stepping up and mentoring the young men and women who are returning. We need to have community mental health people in organizations volunteering their services. Right now, the VA is so underfunded and overstretched that they're only able to serve a quarter of the veterans who are coming to them requesting assistance.
See, this is
that is not supporting the troops.
No, of course not. But see, it's so much easier. They're out of sight, out of mind. You know, we're paying you to go over there, so don't bother us, you know?
Right.
And the statistics, we just, what, turned 2,500 killed in Iraq at this point. And I think, honestly, to be honest with you, that's a lot higher simply because that's only direct contact via bomb or something.
Right. We are not counting the others that are dying at Walter Reed. We're not counting the dozens of soldiers who have committed suicide both in Iraq and when they have come home. We are not counting the incredible number of fatal accidents and things that Iraq War veterans have been involved in. We're not counting any of those kinds of things.
And the number of wounded who are going to suffer the rest of their lives, not only with post-traumatic stress disorder, but, you know, lost limbs, lost eyes, all this, that they have so undervalued that.
Yes, we know. But it's not they, because they are us. We have undervalued that. People in America, for the most part, are driving by this war. This is their evening entertainment. If, in fact, as the polls show, almost 70% of people in America do not support this war, then why are more people not doing anything about that? I think one of the critical issues that this war is putting up on the screen of this nation is that we are being called to make a determination about the truth of who it is that we are, and we need to align our professed values with our actions. And let's keep in mind that the national budget is a moral document.
Well, and Stacey, I have to be honest with you. We are such a polarized and divided, polarized in one way, polarized on each side, but a totally divided, almost 50-50 about this war. That's part of the problem, too. There, and that's what happened in Vietnam. There was this division as to why we even should be there.
Mm-hmm.
When you had a World War II, it was a question. Everybody supported it. Everybody
right, exactly. That's just it. In order for the nation, and certainly for our troops, and this also helps to explain, one, why people are turning away from this war and why the soldiers are having higher rates of PTSD, is because there needs to be a clear and compelling moral legitimacy for the war, and that is not happening with this. And the other thing, too, is, you know, it's not 50-50 in this country. It's close to 70% of people in this country. In virtually every poll that has been done for months now, that number has been inching upwards of 60% of people in this country who do not support the war in Iraq. A Zogby poll done in February of 2006 of the troops on the ground in Iraq, those troops in Iraq indicated upwards of 70% of them. Imagine. 70% said they thought all troops should be out of Iraq by the end of the year.
Well, there's not seeing an end. See, this is the problem. If we had some sort of end, and I'm not saying announce it, but start working toward it, it's not even going to come close. If anything, it's going to escalate. And I know that's going to happen. Now, but the book, When the War Came Home.
When the War Came Home.
How did they get the book?
The book is available at Borders and Barnes & Nobles and independent booksellers.
Yes.
It's also available online through Continuum Publishing, as well as Amazon.com. If people like, they can go ahead and go to my website, which is StacyBannerman.com.
And that's S-T-A-C-Y.
S-T-A-C-Y, banner like the flag, M-A-N.com. And they can purchase When the War Came Home through there.
Fantastic. And Stacy, I'll make sure we put that up on our website, too.
Thank you so much.
And Stacy, keep up the good work, because we need people like you who will speak up and speak out, because, they, you know, again, out of sight, out of mind, you know, keep them in the hospital, send them home, let them do their own thing, or bury them, either one, and that way they don't have to worry about it.
Absolutely, and thank you for that. I'd encourage people, if they want to support the work, our work, I'm with Military Families Speak Out, and our mission is support the troops, bring them home now, take care of them when they get here, never again send our loved ones to a war based on lies.
Okay.
And that website is mfso.org. We are a nonprofit. All deductions are, or all contributions are tax deductible.
And that's again, MF as in Frank?
Military Families Speak Out. MF as in Frank, S as in Stacy, O.
Terrific. .org.
You got it.
Dynamite, Stacy, get out there and go after them.
You know what?
You dynamite. Thank you so much. Come back and visit again.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Love.
Bye-bye.
War can and always will be hell. And you know what? No one wins. You know, Sunday's going to be a very special day. We all know what that day is. That day is called Father's Day. And, you know, we're always wondering what we're going to get for Dad, right? You know, is it going to be the shirt and tie? Is it going to be the socks? Is it going to be the typical stuff again? Or maybe we can find some neat things for Dad that might just be a little bit more fun. It's hard. I mean, when you think about Dad, and he always appreciates it. I mean, they always open those ties and they go, oh, it's the best tie I've ever gotten in the whole world. Or they look at the shirt and go, oh, yes, that is fantastic. But you know what? I really want people to understand that there are some options. And that's the reason Roger Santos is back with us today, our home improvement guy, knowing your home. He's also my computer guy here, who just knows everything there is to know about computers, and then a little bit more. But I think he might have some really good ideas for a combination of computers and home stuff, because Dad does a lot of things around the house. He does the hobbies, et cetera, that we might be able to do for you folks who have not figured out what you want to get Dad for Sunday. Roger, it's always nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Mary Jane. And I think I'm going to put you on my reference list, definitely.
Isn't it true? I mean, we do, but it, you know, it's like, all right, another shirt, another tie, another pair of socks.
Yeah, true.
The
yeah.
typical stuff again.
Exactly.
You know? Or we find these stupid little game gadgets that he probably goes, if I have one more of those, you know, that goes in the bin and it gets thrown out to the SPCA or something, the thrift store. Maybe you've got some ideas for us that might be able to help. Maybe a combination of things around the house and a computer. How do you combine those two things?
Well, you do. In fact, your opening was terrific, because I have a love of both. Working around the yard, you're doing the lawns, you're doing your yard work and everything else, and you are dreaming. You are thinking about, what if, what would it look like if I just did this, that, and the other?
Virtual yard.
A virtual yard, yes. You can overdo your entire home as many times as you want because of the beauty of your computer now.
Too bad it wouldn't be that easy for when you actually have to do it.
Well, see, that's the other flip side of it.
Yeah,
you just keep playing with the computer until such time as you finally say, you know, I'm actually going to bite the bullet and do this thing. But that's the beauty of the computer, because you take some photos of your house, you can actually import those into a program, which allows you to lay on top of that image anything.
Hmm.
Different paint colors, different siding types, different windows. Pavers, retaining wall, you can put in absolutely anything to a complete makeover of your house and see what it would look like. And it's three-dimensional. It will actually move and rotate, so you can move around the entire house.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
So you can see what it looks all the way around it?
Yep.
Oh, I like that.
And you can actually get programs where you can design the entire, redo the interior, and actually walk through and navigate as if you were going through the house.
Oh, that's excellent.
It is fabulous. The programs that are out there today are just absolutely incredible.
Are they expensive?
They can range anywhere from inexpensive to very expensive, depending on how much capability you want in your program.
Okay. Give me the bottom side, the inexpensive side.
You're a numbers girl. Okay. So you're looking...
Yeah, just a range. You know, give me a range so I know how much I'm going to have to set aside.
Okay. That is worth somewhere in the neighborhood of about 150 on up to...
You name it.
1200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but now can that virtual reality programming be used for other types of things or only for homey stuff?
Well, you can get all kinds of different programs that specialize. Some specialize in for landscaping, for example, because mm-hmm. they have a lot of graphics and that you import for putting into the landscape, the plants, the different types of plants, maybe some drainage systems, some sprinkler systems, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put that in. There are others that are specific for construction. So you can build a house, build a deck that you've always wanted, whatever you want to do, and then take virtual tours inside of it, and it's just terrific.
That just sounds so cool to me, because then I actually see what it's going to look like if I just follow the directions, but that's also a key, correct?
Absolutely. Well, you got to follow the directions. But the thing is, a lot of it is intuitive. A lot of it does flow in such a way that you begin to go, oh, gosh, that kind of makes sense that I should, you know, be able to do this and bring my stuff in. And like with any program, it just takes time to play with it. Well, it happens to be a fun program to play with.
Really?
So Dad will have hours of fun. Now, the lawn may not get mowed, but it's going to look really good on the screen.
Well, you know, this is his weekend. He shouldn't have to do that anyway, so give him some playtime. And, you know, don't you love the music that I used for you at the opening?
No, the Knowing Your Home, the Home Improvement.
The Home Improvement guy, okay? I'm going to play just a little bit more of that, because I want you to kind of get in the mood, because maybe we've got some ideas for the home, some gadgets for Dad, because I know, Rick, and believe me, it's not that we, and it could be the guy, too, that does not or cannot learn how to do things like mow the lawn and get out there and till the ground and all that. But some of us don't care. You know what I mean?
I'm not so sure it's about can't as much as,
won't.
Gee, I really don't think that's what I want to do.
I want you to hear this again, because we're going to talk about home improvement now.
Okay.
Okay, now we're getting in the mood for that home improvement, totally. And maybe we can get some gadgets and some fun things for Dad to be out there and maybe make his life a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the thing is, there's the computer component is really great because you can get all the different ideas. But now, if he's already got the ideas, maybe he's not as into computers as he is in, I don't need the manual.
Oh, it's just like directions. You guys never need directions.
No.
Excuse me. Yeah, you do.
There's the sun. There's, you know, that's got to be
I'm
north.
I'm going north. I'm going south. It's got to be the right. Yeah, what is with you guys? Is that inbred?
It's built. We're hunters.
You're hunters?
We know where we're going. We know how to get home.
Yeah, well, you think. But it takes you an extra hour. If you just stop and ask directions, you get there in 5 minutes.
Oh,
you know?
Think of all the things you'd miss.
Yeah, the scenic tour, huh? Okay. So we want to get Dad going here with something that's going to...
Something around the house. Okay. There are just a ton of different ways to go. Is Dad into wood? Is Dad into gardening? Is Dad into home repair? The number of tools in the basement of Sears is marvelous. It's basically a treasure trove of places to get things for.
Okay.
And the newer tools that are on the market that really make things easy are pneumatics. Pneumatic is becoming a very popular way.
Pneumatic.
This
pneumatic.
Would be air compressor
air
tool.
Compressor tool. Okay.
So anything that connects up to the air compressor that can do it. Ratchet, hammers. They now have
a
hammer. The thing's called a palm nailer. And what it is, it literally fits in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
Has a little nipple on the front. Nail sticks into it, and when you compress down on it, the air pressure drives a pneumatic hammer, which drives the nail into the wood.
No, more hitting your thumb.
No more hitting your thumb. No more, I can't get a hammer into the corner there and get that thing in. And it just drives it right in. Wonderful.
But I got to tell you, that conjures up good things and bad things to me. The good things is that it is much more convenient. It is much easier. The bad thing is sometimes using that hammer makes you feel better.
Yeah, well, there are times when a hammer's a good...
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Typically, we've got to do some demolition before we get into the building. So
okay.
That's where you get that out.
Yeah, you get your frustrations, you know, the hammering and you're hitting as hard as you possibly can. Pneumatic, I got to remember that.
Pneumatic
air
tool.
Pressure, okay.
Yes.
Any other kind of tools that we can do with the pneumatics that are the ratchet?
The ratchet, exactly. So what comes to mind when I think of all the pneumatics is deck building is a big place for this sort of thing.
All right.
You've got oversized bolts, which you're going to be putting through oversized lumber, which is going to be your framing.
Mm-hmm.
Pneumatics are fabulous because they will ratchet it down. They will suck the woods together and make sure that you've got a nice, tight fitting.
Ooh.
So whereas...
You're making us lazy.
Well, not so much lazy as less tired when you've done more.
I like that, less tired.
Less tired when you've done more.
Okay.
That's the way I like to look at it.
That's good, okay.
So the whole pneumatic range of things, from staple guns, to for staples and for nails, to the pneumatic palm nailer, to the ratchet. There's just a whole new variety of tools coming out specifically for air-pressured function.
Ah.
You just snap them onto that hose, and you just keep going, and it's terrific.
Fantastic. Oh, by the way, I was just going to let you know, folks, we were going to run the Tommy Toon interview today, and it seems like Mr. Computer decided that he wants to do squirrely things with me. And
yes, it does.
Yeah, and you can't help it. Don't you love computers? I'm going to talk to you about that, too. Right? But anyway, the computer is making like little funny things, and I'm afraid the interview is going to be sounding a little bit strange. So we'll hold this interview off for Monday, because I want you to hear this. It was one of the most phenomenal interviews. Now, Roger, you were there.
I was there, and I got to tell you, it's the first time I've met Tommy Toon. You've met him before.
Yeah.
First time I've met him, and the man was just the most ingratiating, wonderful guy to meet. I was completely taken by him.
Well, he was so appreciative. A lot of times you get some of these, I've met some of these, okay? you know, they kind of walk in like, oh, God, you know, kiss my feet. And
right.
We like to say, I'll have you kiss something, but it's not going to be my feet.
Exactly.
And it's just like, excuse me, we're doing a favor for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is Tommy Toon, but he is so approachable, so natural. We went in, yes, he had a couple of people, entourage, whatever, but they completely left us all alone to do the interview.
Yeah.
And there was no problem with it at all. Took photo sessions. He was fabulous.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I saw him on opening night, and I took the interview that we did, and you burned a CD for me, and I handed it to him. You should have seen how gracious he was. And he said, is this your husband? You know, and he started talking to him. And the man, I can tell you this, if he comes to your town, see Dr. Doolittle, see him in anything, Tommy Toon. On stage, off stage, the one thing that I noticed, and I always knew he was talented, because I had the last production I saw him in was Bye Bye Birdie.
Right.
And he's also dubbed the Will Rogers Follies and all that. However, on stage, this man, you can tell, he's been on stage all his life, so comfortable. I mean, when you hear him do his opening and do his songs, it's not like I'm here, I'm an actor, I'm doing these songs, I'm doing this dialogue. It's like he's really talking to each and every person in that audience.
He is so comfortable with who he is that he is just a joy to have a conversation with, and he's the kind of person that you could just sit down and talk about the dogs.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
a wonderful.
I'm not going to give it all away, but he does have a little dog named Schubert, because he helped open the Little Schubert Theater in New York,
and
he found the dog as a stray. And this is Little Schubert, who travels with Tommy Toon wherever he goes. Now, obviously, I think he's a Yorkshire Terrier.
Exactly.
Yorkie. So they're tiny. And he says, you just put him in this little carry-all and under the seats, and off they go wherever he flies. And I love the one line that he used. And then this is all I'm going to tell you, because you got to listen to the interview on Monday.
It's a great interview.
But he said, well, you know, and I tell Little Schubert every night, when I go on stage, okay, now you be a good boy because Daddy has to go do the do his show, and he'll be back again. I mean, that to me was it's so in.
Yeah.
It made me feel like I knew him, like he was sharing a part of his life, and that's the other thing. You got to listen to this interview because we really didn't get into, well, gee, Tommy, what other shows have you done and all this. Nuh-uh. We went into the real
Tommy Kearns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
Who's
metaphysical.
Tommy? And he opened up completely. He didn't hold anything back.
Yeah.
And he was great because if you want to know who this man is, this is the thing to listen to. And what really just absolutely stunned me, we've been sitting there. We've been there for like, 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said how old he was. And I bowed.
Didn't you almost fall off your chair?
I did. I was going to call him a liar.
66 years old.
Incredible.
Oh, my God.
Man, if he was pushing it, he could say, yeah, I'm 50.
That's about it.
Tops. It was phenomenal.
I think his dancing keeps him in good condition.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
his attitude and his dancing is just
And you know what I loved after the interview, and I can say this because it wasn't part of the interview that you'll hear on Monday, but after the interview he said, thank you. And I said, for what? He said, for not asking me how tall I am. He said, everybody
yeah.
that interviews him, the first question that they ask him is how tall. And this man is, I think, either 6'6 or 6'7.
Roughly, yeah.
You know, and I mean, when I stood up, it was like Mutt and Jeff. I mean, totally like Mutt. And I had high heels on. And I was like, oh, my God.
Mary Jane, you're not a big girl.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going, oh, my God. I'm looking up at this tall guy. But the lady who plays opposite him, Dr. Doolittle, she comes up to his shoulder.
Really?
And she doesn't have real high heels on. So she's got to be at least 5'10", 5'11", maybe close to 6 feet tall herself. But it was a good combination, because when you have a total Mutt and Jeff, it's too much.
Exactly. But that gives him such a presence on stage. I mean, you can't miss this man.
You couldn't miss him when he came into the lobby to talk with me.
And he hadn't said anything.
That's
right.
It's, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
You can see his head.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Monday. So I'm sorry.
Big prep there for Monday.
I really wanted to do that Tommy tune, but it's acting a little squirrely, and it might have some dropout on it, and I just really do not want to do this to you because it's such a great interview. And I'm going to hold this one like forever to this man because he did such a good job. So, okay, let's get back to Dad and talk a little bit more about good old Dad.
Yeah.
And you
think about the different things from when you start thinking in terms of home improvement and you start looking around the house. It's a little like buying Mom an iron in some ways because, that's what they're going to do the rest of the year. But
I'm sorry. No, I'm going to disagree with you here, okay? When you buy Mom an iron, that means she's working for somebody else. And it's not, it's like, I don't know, I told Rick, we've been married 35 years. That's a long time.
Uh-huh.
Going on 36, as a matter of fact. Knew him 4 years before. So the only thing on presents, if we agree that we need something for the home together, and we say, okay, that's going to be our birthday present, or that's going to be our Christmas present, and we agree ahead of time, that's cool. But don't you ever, not ever, ever go out and buy me a vacuum cleaner, an iron, a toaster, a microwave, nothing. Do not do that unless I know it and we've agreed on it. Because that to me is like, well, you're my slave, so, and then same thing for Dad. But guys like Rick, he loves gardening.
Absolutely.
That's
where I'm going. Don't think of it in terms of, okay, now we're going to fix the hole in the wall,
the honeydew
door. Exactly. Yeah, these tools will be applied to those things. However, when they're shiny and they're new, we love them anyway. We do.
Okay.
We just do.
All right.
We do.
I just want to make sure we get on the same ground here and on the same track, okay?
This is, I'm like the iron. It's an appreciated, yes, you're going to do some work.
Fun thing,
okay. Tool.
All right.
You can't really go wrong.
Now let you get back on track.
There we go.
All right.
So, the pneumatics. If we get in past the pneumatics, what are the tools out there that have come out that just kind of get us all excited?
What about these saws that cut anything?
Yes.
I mean, they do scrolling and shapes and all this. I mean, do guys like that?
Well, you're talking about a couple of different tools there.
Okay.
What you're looking at and that has become very popular was originally by a brand name, Rotozip. These are handheld Dremels. Some people remember the small Dremels where you can do intricate little carvings in that with tools. It's a small bit like a drill bit or something that fits in the end there, and you could do some intricate work.
Oh, okay.
And it was used a lot for arts and crafts and sort of things like that. And then the Dremel kind of evolved into a much beefier tool which could be used in the shop.
Okay.
It evolved even bigger, so now it fits in the palm of the hand.
Gee, everything's in the palm of the hand now.
Again, all of it, yeah, absolutely. It's much easier. It's not light. It's lightweight and whatnot. has the same idea as a Dremel, but it's a little bit bigger, which allows you to go through sheetrock or cut sideways through different wood projects if you're going to do some intricate little trivet or something like that. You can do all these things now with these very versatile. We're going to use brand name RotoZip only because it's the most, well, it's like Xerox. Xerox, everybody knows. So this device is an incredibly useful tool for a number of different jobs.
Okay.
So here's something you can get them that has a lot of versatility. It's a one-shot thing, and then you can get the different bits and pieces and add-ons that go with it.
Okay.
So it can grow and expand, and people can kind of synergize around that as a theme for dad.
And that's a great idea, because every time the next thing comes, a birthday or whatever, it's like starting a charm bracelet for a woman.
It is.
It saves you the headaches of trying to figure out, I just buy another charm.
That's right. So the pneumatics are kind of like that, because there's always a new tool in pneumatics you can buy. And then the type tools, those as well. But if you're going to go into some serious, I've got to take out the back wall, and I'm going to redo the fence top, and I'm going to cut things, I got to go through some bolts, the tool of choice. If you don't have one, here's a tool that will get used a lot by dad. It is a Sawzall.
A
reciprocating saw.
Sawzall.
We call them Sawzalls.
Okay.
It's a reciprocating saw, and what it does, this actually has one handle, a little long, and it has a blade that fits into the end and just vibrates back and forth. This tool can be used in so many different applications, the mind boggles. I've used that tool. It was the first tool I bought when I bought our new house, and my wife looked at me like, yeah, sure, you're going to use that. She had no idea what it was. And it has been the most used tool I've ever had.
Really?
Absolutely. It is an incredibly versatile tool.
Is it expensive?
No. That's what's really nice. Depending on manufacturer, depending on the power of the unit, obviously the more power the unit has, more cost.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be sure you get one that's going to have the power to go through just about anything. Talk with your local dealer. They'll certainly help you out there. There's some that are battery-powered, some that are cord. And battery-powered tools have come a long way.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting a lot more battery-powered tools where I can take an 18-volt battery, attach it to it from a weed whacker to my circular saw to my drills, and I can just keep reusing the batteries, and I get two or three chargers so I can have batteries charging at any given time. This gives me so much flexibility, so much bandwidth.
You are so
around.
Efficient.
Oh, I am. That's the idea. I want to be efficient, so I have to buy more tools.
Oh, yes. Laura, how do you put up with that man? I'm telling you. Maybe it makes it easier, though, because she goes, what's the newest tool you got? That's what I want for Roger.
That's
right?
It. You go to the hardware store, you say, okay, what's the latest new thing on the... That's what I want. I want one of those. Whatever's
cool.
The new thing. But these types of tools, because now that they have so many different attachments and configurations, and I mentioned weed trimmers.
Yeah.
These things are becoming incredible. They're becoming, the main unit is the body and the arm and the power source.
Yeah.
And in the end, clip off what you currently use, clip something else on. You can get a blower, trimmer, vacuum,
in one.
All of this in one tool.
How cool.
And you just keep changing the adapter at the end. So these are the kinds of things that you can theme around year after year, and dad's going to love it.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense for another couple of reasons. One is, when you have that you can keep changing the bottom unit on that room.
Exactly.
You got to have a blower. You got to have a this. You got to have a that. By the time you get done, the garage is nothing but tools.
Exactly right. This gives you a lot of flexibility in the garage for storage and all the rest.
I like that.
And, and it makes it much more convenient.
Great. Okay. Now, we've done some inside-outside types of things. Now, let's just skip over, because you're a computer. I don't want to call you a computer geek. But
my wife would.
But you're a computer geek, okay? Let's be honest about this. And that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. Do you are there any new things out there for the guy or the gal, actually, but, you know, since it's Father's Day weekend, for dad that he might enjoy with computers?
Actually, there really is. And you've been hearing about it quite a bit with regards to wireless. Wireless and being remote, and the combination of tying a cell phone and a full-on computer and your PDA, personal data assistant, devices, bringing that all together and making it into something that gives you a little bit of everything. Problems with cell phone, for example, if I'm going to use that as my internet interface, I'm sorry, my eyes aren't that great anymore. I can't see the screen, so it kind of becomes useless.
I've got contacts. My eyes are good, and I still can't see it.
There are 23-year-olds who have a tough time seeing that screen, so getting video over the Internet on your phone seems kind of like, you know, okay, you're right. What I find to be very, very useful, especially if you're a traveler, if you do a lot of traveling and everything else, is a good laptop with the built-in Trino wireless connecting capabilities.
Uh-huh.
Again, this is on the PC side. I will confess that I'm more PC than I am Mac.
Thank you.
But both parties have
the option.
Have this option.
Okay.
And so whatever the Mac equivalent is, do your conversion. But, and I'm not advocating one over the other, I just have more
experience. Sure you can, who cares, you know, it's your opinion.
Well, it is my opinion. I just have more experience on the PC side.
Yeah.
But being mobile, having that capability, the current issue is that you're working with Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is wireless transmission over a relatively short distance. We're talking 100, 150 feet from the source base, from some antenna.
Mm-hmm.
It might be at your favorite coffee shop, your grocery store, whatever
That's
it is.
That's growing by leaps and bounds
it's
anyway.
It's growing by leaps and bounds. What they've been talking about is G4. G4 is Generation 4 technology, which is a combination. Let me step back. We are currently, what we use today is G2, Generation 2 technology. Generation 3 was going to be the next step in evolution of technology, but they eclipsed the functionality that they had targeted for G3.
They jumped to 4.
They jumped to 4.
I love
it. They combined 3 and 4 into 1.
I like that. Eliminate that sucker.
There you are. I mean, that's how fast our technology capability is capable. Now, technology capability and implementation are
two
so
different things.
Very different.
I knew you were going to say that.
Very different.
Right.
That we can do so much, yet we can't.
Uh-huh.
And the limitations on the reasons can't, for example, for WiMAX, which is broadband distribution, broadcast, large area broadcast capability of wireless, much like your cell phone, for example, you can be just about anywhere and get your cell phone going.
Right.
The downside for this is bandwidth. Cell phones don't take up much bandwidth. They're very small. But when you start talking about down rates of 128 or better, you're starting to need more bandwidth. And then when you talk about streaming video and audio, all those whizzies, you're talking about a bunch of bandwidth. And getting that in a wide area distribution capability and who's going to provide that, you know, the turf wars over cable versus telephones, right?
Mm.
It's the implementation that always hangs it up. The technology and the brains are there.
So bottom line is, don't go to the department store and be buying ties and shirts and socks.
Right.
Go over to a computer store or a hardware store.
Exactly.
And let Dad have his fun.
Get his wireless fun. Maybe make it for the house, but he can also travel with it, and he can do a lot more with it, from movies to editing the family pictures to whatever. A lot of
I
fun.
Love
and
it.
Laptops are absolutely as capable today as any desktop in doing just that. But if you want the real big power for gaming and serious videoing, get a desktop.
Dynamite. Roger, thank you so much for filling in today. Good stuff and good ideas
Absolutely.
For Dad and just some practical stuff for the house, too. But I appreciate it. And,
love
of course,
it.
We'll be back with you. Thank you so much. That's Roger Santos, our Knowing Your Home guy, our computer geek, and everything in between. And thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off today. You have been absolutely sterling to be with us. And, of course, as I said, we made it through the first week. And we're having some fun, and we're going to continue to have fun with you on Pop Off Monday through Friday from noon until 1. We'll always bring you the best and the brightest and more fun interviews than you could ever imagine. Don't forget, Tommy Toon's going to be with us on Monday, and you will get such a kick out of that interview, plus a whole lot more. In the meantime, as I always say, have yourself a great weekend. Dads, a big hug and kiss from Mary Jane Pop and the Pop Off Radio Show. You guys are terrific. You do a great job. And also, live simply, laugh often, love deeply. And above all else, you dare to dream. It's because that's what it's all about. Life, that is.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.